Wait a minute. Kronk, that was the right lever. You did it. You finally did it. The curse is lifted. Hello, and welcome to Pack Tactics, Season 3, Episode 9, Soapbox, The Quest for JR.
This is a call out for me.
Also, I found it very amusing. An imitation is the best form of flattery.
That's true.
Tonight, I am joined by a bunch of incredibly awesome people. We've got Illy, Io, Jen, Cindy. My name is Crash. I will be your DM for the evening. And what happened last week?
We landed on a turtle.
No elephants in sight. Except for some elephant people. I think we saw some elephant people.
I think so, yeah. And what did we do?
We talked to, I forget what his name was, but he was like leader of the Observers Guild or something like that, who helped us find where the moon probably went and also showed us these sphere map things. And he thinks he figured out which sphere within the sphere was Circulus. And then we went back to the ship and...
But JR was gone.
He was gone. And somewhere in there we met Kevin.
Right, he took us to the Observers Guild.
Right, yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, JR was missing and he left a little note.
Yep, BRB.
Mm-hmm.
He was just going out to get some... Well, he heard there was a forecast for snow, so he... Well, they knew that they needed to immediately head out and get bread and milk, as is the custom. Because if you don't get bread and milk as soon as they call for snow, then you don't have bread and milk.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but I'm still worried because we were told he needed a permit, and I don't think we ever got that permit.
No, we were told we could
not.
No, because we said, I think they said if he doesn't have a permit, he can't come off the ship. And he's...
That was the statement, yes.
That was the statement. And he's come off the ship.
Yep.
Gone somewhere.
Hopefully this won't be a jailbreak episode.
No, that's next week. I mean, hi.
Ah.
This is all fine. Everything's
fine. I don't
fine.
Want to go to the Tanti.
So as long as JR isn't introduced to the patrician and offered a job or the opportunity to go through his doorway.
Oh.
That's a reference to Going Postal, but never mind.
Oh,
yes, which is my favorite Discworld book.
Okay, I
appreciate
understand.
That they took that and turned it into a movie and put it on Amazon Prime. But I did enjoy it immensely. Okay, so you're all there outside the ship looking at the BRB sign.
All right.
Not the barbecue sign. That's three
Not
ships
the barbecue
over.
Sign. Probably smells good, too, over there. So where do you think JR would go?
I don't know.
I mean, I can't imagine what he needed.
Go get a permit for himself? For themselves? Except they can't because they're supposed to get it from their maker and,
I don't think that... Yeah, you're right. Like, their maker isn't here. Or shouldn't be here.
Their maker would
Should
also
I pretend
need a permit.
To be their maker?
Right. I'm sorry, what?
Should I pretend to be their maker and go get a permit? Oh, but we have to find them first.
Right. We gotta find them first and then make them understand that you're pretending to be their maker and get them to go along with that. I'm not sure how much JR understands. I'm sorry, what?
I said, can I try to track them?
Ooh.
You'd need to be some kind of ranger to do that.
If only. Okay.
Wow.
That's a 26. Now, to be fair, the bonus for that was only plus 7. In the other campaign, where we have players that are much higher level, some of the bonuses are a bit more insane. Like, I think I know someone... I thought I knew someone had a deception bonus of plus 13, but they convinced me otherwise. But that's 19 on the die, so that's pretty darn good. Okay, so...
I used up the one good roll we get this session.
Well, at the end of it, you'll all be trying to find the obvious thing. Like, look for something the size of the moon. I don't see it.
There you go, yeah. Like, that's not been difficult before.
This plot needs you to roll well for one thing, for me to forward the plot line to the next point. No, can't do it.
At this point, we should just get a coffee shop style punch card for every time we can't find the moon.
As long as we don't end up having to track someone in a gold suit.
I got that reference.
But that's okay. It's
more going postal.
It's more going postal.
Okay.
Yes. So I will say that you are in a major metropolitan center. So tracking here is a bit more cosmopolitan than tracking through the woods. You're not so much looking for footprints, although you're doing that too. I mean, there are spots where there's puddles of water, there's spots where there's detritus and mud, and you can look for what for the citizens of this city is a very unique footprint. There are other mechanical beings that have walked around on occasion. In my head canon, there have been moments where Chroma just started looking at them and you had to sort of drag her along behind you before she went to go over and say hi to every single one of them. But that's a headcanon.
It's probably Zach's dragging her along. Come on. You can't talk to all the shiny people.
Okay. I'm sorry. They're just neat.
And then another one walks past you carrying like a crate of something.
Oh my gosh.
Reach out and grab her again. Yeah, you can
look
out.
We have our own robot to find.
But all
Maybe
of the,
they've seen them.
But all the mechanical people who you encounter are, shall we say, much more finished than JR is.
Oh, right.
So
he's not. They're not.
Yeah. So their footprint is rather unique for the few spots where you find it. But also, you're just able to like stop at a shop corner and say, "Hi, have you seen a mechanical skeleton walk by?" No. And oddly enough, while most of the mechanical people you've encountered, people don't tend to look at them twice, people tend to notice a skeleton walking past.
Oh, okay.
Even if it's made out of cogs in a bucket.
Sorry.
I mean, I got that reference, and it's valid. And for some reason, JR found a phone book at some point.
Have you seen this boy?
They did say they'd be back, just saying.
Oh.
In town?
Well, in writing. They didn't say it out loud.
All right.
Aw. I'm reading Archbeth in chat. Okay, moving on. So you are able to get a general idea for what direction of the city JR was heading towards. They seemed to, for the most part, be making a beeline towards that area. Although there were no actual bees encountered, much to the disappointment of some members of the party. Apparently one of you has a relative named Beatrice, who's very much into beekeeping. Dagnabbit, I'm making it canon. Yeah. But now it's even more canon because it's on the recording. Before it was just text added in chat.
That's cool.
Crying out loud, I added the emoji to Discord. All right. You go through an area where it looks like there's a lot of new construction. There are piles of rubble that look like they were older buildings. There are the frameworks, I can speak, it's the end of the day. The frameworks of newer buildings with metal I-beams and foundations and all kinds of stuff. And you get past that, and you're into a part of the city that looks like it wouldn't take much to turn the buildings into the piles of rubble that you just recently saw.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
There's a wonderful odor that you've encountered. It smells not unlike Zenosha's mushroom garden.
Interesting.
So I could say that you've kind of gotten used to the odor already.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't necessarily a fan before you decided to get on the ship for an undisclosed amount of time.
It's like when you live by a farm for a while and that's all you smell, and after a while you tune it out.
You want food, you need fertilizer.
Yep.
Yeah.
My father would always refer to that as the sweet smell of manure.
Yep.
And I'd look at him and say, that's not sweet. And I didn't get the joke. Well, there's several reasons why this odor might be existing in this part of town. It might be that all the detritus has to go somewhere. You're in a city. There's a large number of people, and people eat a large amount of food, and that food needs to go somewhere eventually. And this seems to be where a lot of it ends up. Also, the large mushroom people walking around, that is a bit weird, too.
That's odd.
Oh, no.
Take Chroma and swap them out for Zenosha.
Mushroom people.
And they don't seem to be incredibly active. There's a few that are walking around. A lot of them are just sitting still. They tend to be gathered in small groups of four or five.
Zenosha, look.
Yes. But still, we have a friend to find. I'm going to walk up to one of them and just as politely as I can go, excuse me, have you seen a robot skeleton walk this way?
It looks at you and give me a perception check.
A 9.
Okay. You have a rudimentary guess that's looking at you because its face doesn't really look very much like faces that you're used to. You're not sure you know where the mouth is.
If you could point us in the general direction it went, we'd greatly appreciate it.
It shakes its head and a cloud of spores poof out from it. What do you do?
I'll probably take that as a no and just turn around.
Okay. Give me a constitution save.
12?
Okay. For the briefest of moments, you see JR walk down the street and then fade away.
Ooh. I think he went this way, guys.
How do you know?
Mushroom spores gave me a vision.
Cool.
Is that what they're supposed to do?
I've never met mushroom people before, but...
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. We don't know what they're supposed to do.
Zenosha.
Yeah. Show us where. Let's go.
It's okay.
Yeah.
We've never met alligator people either. By the way, Zenosha's the only one who hears that.
Oh, okay.
Oh. I'm going to say, yeah, we're called kobolds, but it was wonderful to meet you.
The feeling is mutual. We are the Myconids.
Oh, thank you for the help. We should be on our way to find our friend before they get in trouble.
Good luck.
Thank you. And I assume I'm having that conversation where everyone else is just staring at me.
Yeah, it seems to be a one-way conversation.
Okay, so lead
it's
the way.
It's okay, I did that earlier.
All right, so yeah, I'm actually considering how that worked out.
There was two people talking at once, and I tried to listen to both of you at the same time. I should never try to listen to both conversations at the same time.
So now Crash has to reinstall his ears. Let's take five.
Mine was, it's okay, I've done that too. Actually, considering how that worked out.
And what was Zenosha's comment?
I do my best to follow the vision.
Okay. Following her.
Ear.exe has restarted.
Chroma. Yeah, I'm dragging Chroma along with me, like holding her hand like she's five. She is five. Like she's a littler kid. And hoping that.
Yes, Chroma literally is five.
Yeah.
I appreciate this glorious out of context quote, this gift that you have bequeathed upon me. Thank you. Okay. So Zenosha leads the way where Kai Bucket was walking. The vision didn't go very far. As soon as you get out of line of sight from the Myconid that helped you out, the vision stops because the Myconid didn't see that, so it couldn't share it.
Well, are we seeing anything they might have been making their way towards? Because they were going in a pretty straight line, like they knew where they were going.
Okay. Well, now that you're at this point, I would say that anyone who cares to make a perception or investigation check, this would probably be the time to do that.
All right, I'm going to try. I got an 8. And
16.
Investigation is available because I am much better.
It is available as an option.
Excellent. Okay. Then I will be rolling at +4 instead of at -1. 16.
All right, I got an 8 on the dice. Perception is +2, but passive perception is
I'm going with active today. Else.
Okay, so I have 10.
Okay. So the two high rolls are both 16. I'm going to say that Marwise and Chroma noticed different things.
Zenosha.
I'm one campaign behind.
Kobold.
Marwise notices something incredibly important. The footnote in this book has a misspelling. And, oh, that has an entirely different meaning for that word. You're going to probably need to contact the publisher or the author. Fortunately, you have the home addresses for both. Now let's move to a totally different world. So Zenosha and Chroma notice different things. Zenosha notices a fairly large sign written in block letters that says, "This is definitely not a secret hideout. No one needs to investigate here."
Subtle.
I mean, well, the sign says it's not a secret hideout, so you're fine. You don't need to go there.
That's the sort of secret hideout sign a group of young kobolds would make. You should check to see if there are kobolds there.
I was going to say, does anyone in the party know this from personal experience?
Yes.
Probably not. Oh, okay.
Okay. Now, what Chroma notices are the non-mushrooms that are hanging out here. They're doing their best to try to look inconspicuous. They'd be doing a great job if they weren't surrounded by mushroom people, and they're not mushroom people.
Hmm.
What kind of people are they?
They appear to be mostly humans. Some of them might be elves.
Cool, I'm going to go up to one.
So I'm going to assume you wiggle free from my grasp and off you go. I'm like, okay. I'm doing that.
You need to get Chroma one of those harnesses that's like a
right,
leash.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fun fact, my mom put me on those when I was younger. That's out of character. I mean, to be fair, Zilly may have put them on Chroma too. But...
It's possible, yeah.
Mom did that.
Right now, Zax is doing that sort of hand gestures like in the Nathan Fillion gif, you know, like, okay. You know, that kind of thing.
I got that reference.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have them in my favorites. I probably do. Yep,
there
we go.
Is. That's Thank the one. Ellie. Like, okay. Yeah.
And once again, we have stopped the plot to talk about a totally visual moment, but I think we gave enough context for it because that's a classic. Mm-hmm. And we have Eric hanging out in chat, posting other interesting GIFs.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the smile on that one mushroom's face.
Oh, I just assumed it was screaming. But
it looks too happy for that.
It looks kind of happy.
Okay. So Chroma goes up to a group of, I'm going to say, three humans that are just sort of standing there looking like they're minding their own business.
Hello. Have you seen a robot skeleton anywhere around?
A what now?
You know, like a skeleton, but robot.
Are you looking for a skeleton or a warforged?
It's a warforged in the shape of a skeleton.
Looks like a skeleton.
It's kind of, it's our friend and they're kind of unfinished.
They got lost.
Yeah.
Does your mom know you're out and about?
Huh? Yes, actually. She sent
her
us
mom
on this
sent
mission.
Us. Yeah, her mom sent us all up here. So I'd
she
say
she was very
mom
upset
knows.
That we lost to the moon.
Right.
Don't confuse the poor people.
I think she already has, so.
These three people do exchange looks.
Sorry, we're kobolds. We get that look a lot.
We're from a different, I think
you call
it Crystosphere.
We're not Dragonborn.
We do know what kobolds are.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's good.
Wait, well, so you still thought you were kids?
You should know what to expect.
Well, you're like five. Kobolds reach maturity around six, so yeah, you're a kid.
Yeah,
Usually people I meet don't know that.
You make it kind of...
What, do they live under a rock?
No, but that's part of the problem.
Yeah, we're kobolds. Most people we know live under rocks.
Pretty much.
I mean, that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we are totally not staking out some very dangerous people who are currently not hanging out in a secret hideout that is very close by.
You mean a secret hideout that has a big sign saying it's not a secret hideout?
Dangerous how?
The very not hideout that we referred to, yes.
Right. Did you see a robot skeleton go that way by any chance?
We may have seen some of the dangerous people escorting a certain skeleton into the place that is definitely not a hideout.
Okay.
Oh, we need to go rescue them.
I'm going
then.
In.
Thank
I start
you.
Walking. I'm walking right
now. Also starts walking.
Yep.
Going
with
in.
One of, with the staking out.
One of the three guards that you were talking to goes to say something and they get hushed by the one who's been doing most of the talking.
What do these
well,
guards
just
look
right
like,
in,
by
I'm
the way?
Blow the horn.
What's this?
I said, if we're just going to walk right in, then I'm going to blow the horn of heroism.
Go ahead. Kobolds to the rescue.
What do these guards look like?
Well, one of them's tall and skinny. One of them's a bit shorter and wider. And one of them you're not entirely sure is human. But
are they the same guards that we saw on the docks?
Oh, that's a good question.
All the ones that you've seen here are different.
Not entirely sure is what?
Exactly.
Huh. One of them we're not entirely sure is? You cut off after that.
Well,
not entirely sure.
That's enough of a quote. Yes.
Entirely sure is.
But what did you say that got cut off?
I don't know if it was cut off. I think.
Are you telling me they've got two knobby knobs?
You didn't encounter a knobby knobs before.
You said we did.
I said I was tempted to name them that.
Oh.
Okay.
Anyway, all four of the kobolds have four temporary hit points and immunity to being frightened.
Nice.
Excellent.
And we're basically just announcing our presence as we barge into this place, so...
Yep, going in.
Uh-huh.
Getting my friend back.
Okay, the front door's locked.
I'm gonna
open it. I can open it.
Okay,
I can
all right. Things. I will give you an opportunity before I break it.
Maybe we can try knocking.
Thank you. Oh, I guess we could do that, too.
Well, they already know we're here. I mean...
Oh, yeah, because we blew the horn.
Right.
So, I'm gonna try to pick the lock.
Okay. That'd be a sleight of hand check?
12.
Okay. It's not that you're bad at lock picking. It's a fairly simple lock, and you're also pretty sure that it was not actually being used to lock the door. It might even have been broken a while ago. But there's a crossbeam holding the door shut on the other side. That makes it slightly difficult.
Okay, Sax, I need you to break it.
All right, back up. I'm going to swing the hammer of thunderbolts, like almost like a baseball bat, and like hit
it. Literally, can we try knocking? They might not know that horn.
All right, fine.
I knock on the door.
What's the rhythm that you use for your knock?
Huh. Did that come through?
Yes.
It came through perfectly. You hear a voice on the other side say, "They know the secret knock. Let them in."
I was not expecting that. All right.
You hear the crossbar go up.
I can't believe that worked.
I got that. the crossbar goes up, and the door opens wide enough for a metal face to peek through.
JR?
Nope, it's not JR. But they look at you and say,
"Oh wow,
you're pretty odd looking, Warforged."
Yep, we're looking for a friend. Their name's JR, kind of skinny guy. A robot.
Doesn't talk much, waves a lot.
Oh.
We're their friends.
Yep, we got something like that. Hey, come on in.
All right. I'm going in.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
When you go in, you find that this building is full of Warforged. There are some that are wider.
This is where the unlicensed ones hang out, right?
There are some that are wider, some that are taller, some that look like they're built for speed, some look like they're built for raw lifting power.
Do some climb on rocks?
None of them appear to be climbing on rocks.
Okay. How about chicken? Do any of them have chicken pox?
I'm not sure how you'd give a Warforged chicken pox.
Difficult.
You have a lovely bunch of Warforged. Here they are, all standing in a row. There's big ones, small ones, some as big as Memeron's head.
Wow. See, what I was really getting at is, do they like hot dogs?
Yeah, I got
armored
that.
Armored hot dogs. They are the dogs bots love to munch.
You know, this amuses me for reasons that I'm not going to stop the campaign to explain, but it involves a different campaign. That's all I'm going to say.
JR, are you around here?
A skeletal hand waves at you.
Oh,
JR.
We found JR. All right, cool.
Wait a minute. Let's be clear. A skeletal hand waves at us?
It is clearly JR's hand, but there are several Warforged between you and JR that were facing JR, and you can't see JR through them. They had to raise their hand high in the air for you to see it over their heads.
Okay, but it's not just like a hand on a table.
No.
Okay, good.
No, that's a different campaign.
Yeah, and it has Paige in it.
Yes, it does. Yep.
Oh, can you imagine Paige in here?
Oh no.
Alright, so I'm gonna try to go around or through the others and find our friend.
So to paint a picture that you see in here, the building is just as run down as the other buildings. There do seem to be some efforts to provide additional structural stability. Many of the windows have had boards nailed over them. I guess they're load-bearing boards over the windows. And there's some load-bearing signs that have been hung up in various places, almost like they're banners. Okay. One of them says freedom. One of the E's in freedom is actually written as a 3. But, you know, whatever. They're trying. There's another one that says no taxation without representation. But they didn't quite plan for how much space they had on the banner. So the letters get narrower and narrower as you get to the end. And then, like, right at the very end, the last few words are written in 2 rows instead of 1.
Oh, no.
One of them says untie. You're pretty sure they meant to say unite.
It still works.
Only one side of it's tied up on the wall.
Well,
someone else took it as instructions.
Followed the directions, yeah.
Yes. And there does seem to be one Warforged that's standing on a soapbox talking to a bunch of Warforged that are listening intently.
I want to listen. I'm going to sidle up and listen.
I'm sorry. I'm just taken aback because Chroma's going to be listening to something. Somewhere on another planet, Chroma's mom is thinking, it's about darned time. Monty's like, but she always listened to me. Yes, but you were explaining how to set things on fire. Your point?
To be fair, Zeely probably has also tried to explain that.
Makes sense.
I mean, yes, accurate.
It's just that Zeely absolutely sucks at explaining things. This is, I don't think she's ever explained something successfully.
Well, she has historically not had an incredibly high Arcana skill set. And as a sorcerer, she learned by doing. But she'd be explaining to Chroma, who's not a sorcerer, and therefore learns by doing in a different method.
Yeah. The explanation neither made sense nor helped.
Like a dog trying to teach a cat how to bark.
Yeah.
Assuming that the cat was interested in listening. But never mind. Okay, so the Warforged that's standing on a soapbox, you know it's a soapbox because a sign has been written on it in a block letters that says soap. It appears to have been written there after the fact and over top of a previous label that said zucchini. That's right, brothers, sisters, non-binary. Actually, we're all binary, but you get the idea. The time has come to rise up. No, you can sit back down. That's okay. That's not what I meant. But the time has come to leave this place for greener pastures. Yes, ABS 12, I know. We're not actually leaving for a greener location. I get, yes. No, but we are going to leave this horrible city, this place of our births, for a birth in a larger ship.
Cool.
That we will take
you
over.
You want to ride on ours?
I don't think we have enough room for all of them.
They might be too heavy.
I don't think they breathe.
Who said that?
No, but they have weight to them. I mean, how much can it...
It was me.
It was her.
Oh. Yep. You want to come onto our ship and see if it's big enough?
Who let them in here? And someone in the back yells, it's okay, they knew the secret knock.
Yeah, we knew the secret knock, so
oh,
here we are.
Then, well, you're some odd-looking Warforged, I'll say that.
I've just put 2 and 2 together. Neri has just put 2 and 2 together between Zax doing her walkabout on the exterior of the ship and Chroma inviting all of these Warforged onto the ship. We're going to turn the Red Star into a little hedgehog for a while, aren't we?
We're JR's friends. JR's the one who looks like a skeleton who can't talk but waves a lot. Oh. I figured I should explain that since they don't talk, so they probably couldn't introduce themselves very well.
Oh, that's your name. JR, is it? JR waves. Wonderful.
See?
We were calling them Scully. They're really good friends with Mulder over there. A small mushroom person waves.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was thinking Mulder would be a warforged covered in mold, and that I'd get a sample.
That's actually FAQ 93.
So,
where are you going to go?
Oh, right. Yeah, that's an important question.
Oh, well, that's the beauty of it. We have allied ourselves with the Myconids surrounding our secret, cleverly disguised hideout. And we will be taking the lot of us to one of the smaller turtles.
Huh.
Apparently, they are in pristine condition with plenty of resources that the Myconids can use and that we can mine for repairs and such.
Okay. Sounds pretty good, I guess.
Sounds like you have a great plan. You might want to move it up because there are guards that are watching your base right now. And I don't mean your guards. I mean the city guard.
Yeah.
What, the watch? Mm-hmm. There's no way.
That's what they're doing.
And probably what they're called, too. But yeah, those guys.
There's no way that they'd be able to find our base. We clearly have a sign out front that says it's not a base.
That's what I thought, too. But then Mom found me anyway.
Actually, it says it's not a hideout. Should we put something out there that says it's also not a base? Yes, excellent idea. Write that down in the notes.
Oh, my.
That's not going to fool them.
Not going to help.
I have a plan.
The scariest phrase in existence.
Oh, boy. What's your plan, Chroma?
Well, okay. So the guard don't want unlicensed warforged wandering around on the city. But we're going to take you out of the city. We're helping.
Well,
so if I
what do you mean? We're all licensed.
Oh.
They license us in the factory when they make us.
Oh, that's the problem.
Oh, okay. I got confused about what everyone was protesting.
We're protesting having to do lots of work for very little pay.
Oh.
Well, that seems reasonable.
One of the other workforce says, we're a union shop.
Cool. I don't know what that is, but...
I don't know either, but it sounds cool.
A union's kind of like the Circle of Tales, where the kobolds all teamed up so the other races couldn't bully us as easily.
Probably.
It is now.
Cool.
As someone who is very pro-union, I'm actually feeling a little bad about how I'm portraying one right now.
Well, they're trying.
They are trying.
I mean, to be fair, they are part of a Discworld parody.
Yes. Yes, that is in a nutshell explains everything. it's very Terry Pratchett-in.
Yeah.
Terry Pratchett-y? How do you turn Terry Pratchett's name into an adjective?
Pratchett-esque.
Pathetic.
Ooh. The second one sounds like cheese, though. Sorry.
I think that's the third inspiration I'm giving tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'll take it.
And my mind went there, too, which made it funnier for me.
Okay. All right, so then... Wait, why is the guard trying to watch you then? Or why is the watch trying to guard you? No, wait, they're not trying to do that. They're why is the watch watching you?
One of the other Warforged raises a hand and says, hi, I'm one of the scribes for the union we've got. My name is FAQ93. Just so you know, they're probably out there keeping an eye on us because we are planning on stealing a GIF warship to get out of here.
But you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to do that anymore because you can come on the Red Star with us.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Chroma.
They also have the Myconians, and I really don't think they're all going to fit. Our ship is small.
Okay. So I was going to have Chroma roll a check for it, but... I don't need to because Zenosha just flat out said it. There are more Warforged here than you think you could fit on the ship.
We could make more than one trip.
Hmm.
Well, I guess that would make it harder to chase the moon.
Well, yeah, there's that. But also, took a long story, we'll get there.
Yeah.
If we took a bunch of them to where they want to go and then came back, well, when we left with a bunch of them, somebody here is going to notice and it might be harder to get the rest out.
Well, yes, and our owners would probably not appreciate when we leave, because they will not be getting financial compensation for the loss of manpower or Warforged power. I think we're using Warforged power. Is that what we agreed on in committee?
Owners?
Well, yeah. Why do they think they make Warforged?
I don't know. We've not met a lot of them.
I know that Codbucket made JR because he wanted the kid.
An offspring, yeah.
Don't be silly. Warforged don't make other Warforged.
Well, one did.
Codbucket did make JR.
Mm-hmm. Where do you want to go?
They said another turtle.
One of Terry's children. I've been told that they are
plentiful.
What if
we bring the other turtle here?
How are you going to do that?
I don't know yet.
I don't. They're pretty big, though. I mean, I don't think that's going to work.
They are quite large. They are expensive. Plenty of natural resources. Why, the only way to deplete a turtle of its resources completely would be to have some large gravitational force go by and just rip it off the turtle's back. That's unheard of.
Oh, that did happen to a few recently.
I think so, yeah. I think I remember hearing that.
That goes back to our problem with the stolen moon.
I have a bad feeling.
Told you we get back to that.
About the turtle with the plenty of natural resources. I think maybe we should check up on that.
Do you breathe?
That's a rather personal question. Also,
it's
no.
Relevant,
it's very relevant.
No, okay.
See, told you.
Our Myconid allies do require an atmosphere, though. Usually some refreshments, some light party music, a few nice wall hangings. They prefer stuff from the 70s. Lots of disco.
So, who makes Warforged?
Working at the bot wash. Working at the robot wash.
Do you already have inspiration? I want to say you already have inspiration.
Yes, I already have inspiration.
I thought so. And yet you keep trying to earn it. Don't stop. why, they make them in the factory.
Just one factory?
Well, it's only one city. We only need one factory. We last for years.
Okay, I have a new idea.
We're all ears. Well, most of us are not all ears. There's one bot that looks to be made entirely of ears that says, "Thanks for noticing." They were made for the Observers Guild.
Huh.
I've been told I'm slightly less creepy than my brother who was made with all eyes.
Hmm. And are you sending back anything you hear to the Explorers Guild right now?
The Observers Guild?
Yeah, nope. That's it. Nope. Anywhere else?
Well, yes.
What are you sending back?
Everything I hear?
Yeah, that's a problem. That's what
I
want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin says hi.
Oh, tell Kevin we said hi. He's cool.
He is.
Yeah, Kevin's on watch duty. That's why we have the meetings at this time. Oh. He usually gets distracted and forgets everything about it.
Smart.
Okay.
We thought so.
All right. What I guess that works then.
The person who thought up that plan thought up the banner over there.
Well, everyone has their moment, I guess.
By the way, the banner that they point to is just ones and zeros.
I thought he meant the not a hideout.
All right. What's it? I can't read that one.
It's actually a very clever pun.
Okay.
Instead of writing, they wrote, which has an entirely different meaning, but it sounds very similar. There's a few light chuckles around the room.
It does sound similar. Yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're leaving on a ship with the Myconids? Is that right?
But first we have to make sure that the turtle that didn't get strip mined by the moon.
Yeah, you should talk to the Observer Guild, see if your turtle was one of the ones affected by the recent moon that shot through
this. Hey, Kevin! Can you check something for us?
Kevin said he can.
Awesome.
Yes, Kevin keeps saying I'm helpful over and over again. But he is. He's very helpful.
Uh-huh. That's how you know he's helping.
Okay, so tell Kevin which turtle you were planning on going, and we'll have Kevin check on that turtle.
I have another very personal question. You don't have brains, do you?
Not
so
in the biological sense, no.
I'll ask for the third time. What happens if we put the Warforged on the moon?
Oh, interesting.
I didn't hear you the first two times, so... sorry, it's loud in here.
Yeah, I heard they turned the airport into a disco. Everything's excited and confused. I know it's supposed to be everyone's excited and confused, but there are a lot of robots here.
Right.
And mushrooms.
Right. Okay, so Yeah, see what Kevin can figure out about the turtle.
So, were we trying to go to a turtle named All of Them? Because Kevin said All of Them.
Oh, no.
Do you know the name of the turtle you are trying to go to?
Well, we weren't planning on going to one named All of Them, so it should be perfectly fine.
I think by All of Them he means every turtle.
So every turtle has no resources. Is that right, Kevin?
Kevin says, unless you wanted an eternity supply of turtle meat, which is a bad idea.
Okay,
oh, that's
so
bad.
Especially since we don't eat.
Right. So that means the resources you're trying to get from your turtle is gone. And it's not on any of the other ones either. You need a new plan.
One of the other warforged raises their hand and says, could we go with my plan and build a large wooden badger? No! Wrong plot!
Why do you need a large wooden badger?
Well, we'd put it outside the patrician's palace, and then they'd bring it inside, and then I haven't worked out the rest.
I don't understand this plan.
But are you going to fill it with snakes?
I still don't understand this plan.
Why would we fill it with snakes? It makes no sense whatsoever.
Because it's a giant wooden badger and they're working with mushroom
the DM
people.
Is very happy about this. The DM is thrilled.
Okay,
right. No, I was
okay,
this.
You got it. You got
I was,
it. Okay.
Yeah, the DM understands it entirely.
No, Zach has no idea what's going on.
The DM will not laugh. The force is with him. The DM will not laugh. The force is with him. The DM will not laugh. The force is with him.
Okay.
So the problem is that the factory is selling all of you, and...
And we don't like it very much.
Right. So we need to... And the turtles all got frit mined by the rogue moon.
Yes, that rogue one, definitely.
Sorry.
Considering the gif I just posted, yes.
Right, yeah.
So...
Well, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think doing anything to the factory itself will solve the problem. We'd still have a city government that believes these people should be owned.
So, I guess we talk to the city government?
But what are they going to do? I mean, why would they listen to us?
Because I'm really annoying and I won't go away.
Okay, you got a point there? I've seen this happen.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You seem like a delightful group of robots.
Okay, sure.
Oh, I have a question. How much of this city runs on things Warforged to do?
Well, we do the heavy lifting, and we do a lot of the transportation, and a lot of the manufacturing. Also, we keep the sewers clean.
Have you heard of a general strike?
So if you all stop...
That's
right,
what we're attempting,
what
a general strike against a gift warship.
No, not a tactical strike.
What if you stop working and say that you're not going to work until you're owning yourselves and being paid and stuff like that?
Right, step one is come up with and finalize a list of demands, and then you talk to every Warforged and get them to all stop their work on the same day and refuse to go back until your demands are met.
There are legends of a Warforged generation that did such a thing. Legend says that many of their parts, when they were all dismantled and recycled, have found their way into Warforged bodies today. But
so
not their brains.
Down the factory.
They crushed all those.
Yeah.
Okay,
shut down the factory. Wait. Are the Warforged making Warforged in the factory?
Oh, no. We're definitely not allowed anywhere near there once we're constructed.
Okay, because here's the thing. If you shut down the factory... and you have a bunch of Warforged that are protesting, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to dismantle the Warforged that are here like they did before, or they're going to make them have extra work because there are no additional Warforged. It's not going to work. Like, you know, you got to think like, you know, your enemy.
But if the factory's shut down and they're not working, then...
Right, if they're not working and they don't have a way to get new Warforged, that might give them a big enough... hand to play, so to speak.
Well, they can try it. There are risks. They can try it.
I'm not seeing many other plans because their turtle's gone.
That's true. All right.
Let's I promise we'll sure shut down that factory for you.
And I'm sure they certainly won't send the Warforged Titan after us. I mean...
The what now?
Well, Warforged like us, Titan. But a lot larger and fully under control of the humans.
All right. Tell me more about it. Does it have, like, automatic weaponry or...
It's actually really, really cool. One of its special abilities is called the Hammer Fist. Doesn't that sound awesome?
Well, I kind of have something similar, but it's not as big.
It does sound awesome.
It's got another ability called the Axe Hand.
Interesting. Yeah, that's...
One of them neat. Cheerfully says, it could probably cut through this entire building in one go.
Oh.
And it's controlled by the
By the humans.
By the humans.
Are there, like, controls inside? Can
Which
we hijack
humans?
It?
Like, the patrician or the factory or...
You know, that's a very good question. Everyone who's attempted to ask has been cut in half.
Oh.
Usually right down the middle.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Well, I'm sure I can figure it out.
Occasionally it's on a diagonal, and it's harder to figure out if that was down the middle or a 50-50 split or not.
Okay, so this plan's looking harder and harder.
Right.
But I doubt we can fit everyone on our ship, so the closest to a plan...
What if
we... I was about to say the closest to a plan B is we help them steal a ship, and then we both run off chasing the moon.
At that moment, the entire building shakes just a little bit.
Everybody out.
Banner falls the rest of the way down.
Yeah, everybody out. This thing's going to collapse on top of us.
And
go.
What, again?
We've been playing
for a little Move. Over an hour. What do you say we take a short break?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, I'm going to press buttons. Now is the time of the kobold at the Warforged at the occasional.
Wait, did I miss it?
No, you're actually 5 minutes early.
We're early.
Kobolds are early. We're never early.
A kobold is neither early nor late. They are always arriving right when no one expected them to.
Okay, we did that already. We did that already today.
Okay, so where we left off, the building was shaking.
Right. Everybody out. Move.
And the kobolds were like, let's vacate the premises. Now, remember, we all leave in groups of two or three in the order of our manufacturing date. So, whose turn was it this time?
The building's collapsing.
You're
going to
have
evacuate.
To get up quicker or you're going to be squashed, I think, depending on what this is made out of.
One of the beams falls from the ceiling and hits three different Warforged. It breaks into pieces.
Ahem.
Oh.
Ouch.
Oh.
Okay, we're going to get out because we're kind of squishy.
Yeah.
JR, you can come with if you want.
Hold this truth to be self-evident. All Warforged are created equal. Now leave.
Ooh,
that's an excellent quote. Someone should write that down.
You're looking for equality. Let's write it down on the sidewalk outside.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to assume that at this point, all biological entities leave the premises with JR in tow.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Should we roll for initiative?
Well, let me paint a picture for you. The humans are still doing their best to be inconspicuous, which makes them very conspicuous because no one tries to hang out surrounded by mushrooms while inconspicuous. They also look a little dazed. It might be all the mushrooms that are hanging out. So that's a thing, possibly. The street that you've come down is a wonderful bit of a bottleneck where the building you exited is the width of the street, and then there are buildings packed close together on either side for a long stretch. And at the far end of this long stretch, there is something that Chroma's going to want to play with.
Oh, dear.
Or break.
Oh, wow.
But that might be the same thing.
Also, that it's a good thing you can't nat one initiative.
Oh, no. Are we rolling initiative? I'll do that.
Yeah, I'm going to be asking for your initiative rolls in just a teeny little bit.
Okay.
I'm trying to share this picture, and Discord is saying, oh, wait, that picture's over a megabyte? We can't upload that very fast. Mm. So I'm giving you a smaller version.
Oh. Oh, my.
Well, now you know why one of its attacks is called the Hammer Fist.
Yeah.
And the other attack is called the Axe Hand.
You know, if we'd gone with my idea of having our ship be a mech kobold, we could be going Pacific Rim right now.
That'd be interesting.
It's true.
Okay, so that's what's on the screen. Oh.
There are stats in the Eberron book, the latest one, the hardcover one, not the PDF that you can purchase, for a warforged colossus. I would have had your ship be that set of plans.
Wow.
They had multiple floors and a weapons platform.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
And it was a giant robot. Now, this one is not quite that large. I mean, it's quite large because you can see the illustration. It's sort of creating additional shrapnel as it walks down this alleyway because it's... Let's say that it's maybe 25 foot wide and the alleyway is 20 foot wide.
Oh, no. Okay.
It's that scene from The Simpsons where, how are we on the left? We're getting sparks, Dad. All right, plenty of room.
Great.
Yeah. Now, it does appear to have two platforms built into its chassis. On each one, there appears to be a human wielding a crossbow. But as it's approaching you, one of them falls off and lands on the ground. They're lying prone, looking up at the sky.
Oh, no.
Reaching with a hand to try to grab something that it sees, but there's nothing there. And the other one appears to be asleep at the wheel.
Huh.
Okay, where's the robot that's all ears? Because I want to talk to Kevin.
They are trying to get into a nice orderly line with the rest of the Warforged so they can all come out. Several of them have taken what Neri said about all Warforged being created equal into account and trying to leave through the door at the same time.
Oh, no.
But as they try to do this, they are in a line that's much wider than the doorway.
All right, can I, like, break part of the wall by the door so they can get out?
I mean, once we've written down all the initiative, you can use your turn to do that, yes.
Okay.
I am in competition with the cat to make sure initiative is written down properly.
Good luck.
Well, here's the thing. I keep my book that I write all the initiative stuff down in on my dice tray, so when that comes out, the dice are visible. Those are vicious and must be dealt with. The book has two ribbons for a bookmark. They're sewn in to be part of the book. Those are also vicious and must be destroyed to protect the house.
Yeah. Of course.
Yes. Socket must protect this home from devastation and unite all people within his nation. Mm-hmm. Team Socket is blasting off again. So, who rolled above a 15?
I got a 17.
I got 11 on the dice and initiative is a +3.
So it's a 14?
Yeah.
And Neri's got a 23, which... absolutely guarantees I will make no good attacks.
Oh, no.
So Neri's going yesterday.
Yeah.
And Chrome is going tomorrow.
You were wondering why the two humans got taken out of combat already. It's because Neri took care of them on their way here.
Perfect.
She fired an arrow so quickly that it traveled backwards in time, bounced off a few tachyon particles. And then hit their targets.
Well, if I recall right, Ellie is going for an arcane archer build with Neri soon.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah. Okay, so who rolled... I got Neri, I've got Zenosha, I've got Zax. Chroma got a 1 on the die, but what was the number with the...
4.
4.
No, the dogs have discovered a cat.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I do not hear them, or whatever that's worth.
There's one particular cat who likes to go along my fence. It's on the other side of the fence, but it's a chain link fence.
It's like that kid that knows that if they annoy someone in just the right way in the class, they'll make that most interesting sound.
It's the cat version of I'm not touching you, right?
The cat version of I can make you do something just by being in this spot.
Yeah.
Okay. I've got everything written down. Mm-hmm. I rolled a nat 20 for the Warforged Titan.
Oh, great.
Ooh. Yeah. Fantastic. It gets to go first.
All right.
So it is... what are we going to do? It is going to use a sweeping axe attack. It makes a sweep with its axe hand, and everything within 10 feet must make a dexterity saving throw. Now, it's doing this. None of you is within 10 feet.
Okay.
Matter of fact, the only people within 10 feet appear to be its allies and mushroom people.
Oh, no.
And buildings. It sweeps high enough that it's not going after its allies or the mushroom people. I mean, the mushroom people are taller than kobolds, but they're not that tall. So it uses a sweeping axe attack and does siege damage to the buildings on either side of it. It now has more freedom of motion.
Okay.
Next up is going to be Neri.
What's the light level?
It's late afternoon. It's a little overcast, so you're not doing perception checks at disadvantage.
So it's not dim light?
It's not dim light, no. You cannot turn into a bat.
Wait a minute.
And that's coming straight down the...
Well, it was coming straight down, and then it stopped to do some urban renewal.
Right. What's the map grid like here? Is it a grid?
I would say it's 20 feet across for about 60 feet, and at the 30-foot mark away from you stands this Warforge, which has made the grid be a little bit wider than 20 feet where it happens to be.
Okay, well, I guess what I'm asking is, if I were to run to the next street over, how many turns would it take me?
You would have to run past it or through a building.
Okay. Well, that answers that question.
I would allow you to attempt this. One of them would require me to roll an attack of opportunity. The other would be a delightful Ferris Bueller's Day Off end scene. You see Neri pop through and then, hey, that smells delicious. Goes to the next room. Supper's almost ready.
No, I'm just going to shoot arrows at it.
Okay.
Hunter's mark on the Titan.
The largest of red arrows appears above its head. It bobs slightly. Ships coming in to dock are like, why is that giant arrow appearing in the middle of the city?
And that's a dirty 22.
That's going to hit.
For 15 damage.
Noted.
I was waiting for, how do you want to do this?
That's hopeful.
So nothing that has an ability labeled as siege monster is going to get taken down with 15 points of damage. I'm sorry.
Maybe I hit it really good.
I'm sure you did. 15 points of damage is a lot for a level 4 character to do with one attack. But it's still moving.
And I'm going to back up 20 feet.
You have not yet moved 20 feet. You are up against a bunch of Warforged that are trying to evacuate in an orderly fashion as soon as they have some semblance of order.
Got it. That I am between the Warforged and the Titan.
Okay. They are willing to let you pass as soon as they decide on which of them, being all equal, is slightly less equal than the rest of them and therefore has to be the one to back up. There's other ways to interpret it, but that's not what they've done. The incompetence of others comes back to haunt people who have no fault in the incompetence of others. Zenosha.
Is there anyone between me and the giant Warforged?
There seem to be several mushrooms, the mushroom people who refer to themselves as Myconids, that are there. They do not seem to be overly panicked. None of them are armed. They are releasing a lot of spores, though.
Can I get a 5-foot line of sight that doesn't include anyone else but me and the Warforged?
Yes, especially if you angle it high.
All right, then I'm doing my standard lightning strike because it's the strongest attack I have, but once a day. So it has to make a dex save of 17.
This may come as a surprise to you, but a giant robot is not the most dexterous of beings.
That's what I was hoping to hear.
I mean, so far as giant robots are concerned, this is dexier than many that I've seen stats for. Doesn't mean it's dexy. That's a 13.
All right, so I do 30 damage, and if it's relevant, it's deafened.
So that same spelljammer ship that I said was coming into dock, that was like, why is that giant red arrow appearing in the middle of the city? They then see a bolt of lightning shoot out from the city and go off into space. And they're like, you know, maybe we should keep our distance for...
ever.
The next hour or so. Let that run its course.
Looks like someone's frying tofu.
Oh! Oh, wow.
All right, and all my other options are actions, so that's the end of my turn.
I'm surprised that as a giant robot, it doesn't have either an immunity, resistance, or weakness to lightning in some way, shape, or form. But that none of that is relevant here. That's interesting. All right. Next up is going to be Zax.
Okay, so I want to find the robot that can talk to Kevin, because I'm hoping Kevin can shut this thing down.
They're somewhere in the building behind you. The door is blocked.
Okay, how tall are the most of the Warforged in there? Like, can I crawl like through their legs and try to find the one I want?
They're all medium-sized. I would require a dex acrobatics check.
Okay. I got a 6, and acrobatics is a +3.
You successfully get halfway past the one that's in the doorway.
Cool. I'm going to yell, halfway. Hey, if you can hear me, I forgot your name, the robot with the ears. I need your help. I guess they can't hear me.
1 second, I'm making a note. I wrote down like, names.
We're all equal. Can I help you?
Oh, my.
The name's CNC84.
Okay, CNC84, since you can hear me, I need you to talk to Kevin and tell him to shut down that giant monstrosity that's beating up the town. You'll know what I mean.
You know he's Observer Guild, right? They don't control giant robots.
I don't know. I think I just ask him if he can do something.
He's telling me about a makerspace that he has access to.
Okay, not that something. Something more relevant to stopping this big thing.
He says someone named Dr. Stretch might be able to help.
I don't know who that is, Kevin. What can you do? Just, like, stop it from moving or something.
He says you sound a lot like her for some reason. I don't get it, but, you know.
I don't know. I don't know who that is.
I don't get headaches, but sometimes I feel like I'm getting one when I talk to Kevin for too long.
Okay. Kevin, can you stop this big robot?
He just already said
immobilize
no.
It. He can't. Can you pick it up and throw it somewhere?
The DM knows that Kevin might actually be able to try doing that.
Zax doesn't know. She's thinking tactically.
Actually, I think this is too heavy.
Okay.
If I'm using Kevin's mutants and mastermind stats, this thing is too large to pick up and throw.
Okay, can he like take the arms off it? I'm just thinking tactically, you know, kind of neutralize the enemy.
You probably need like a large lightning charged hammer to be able to do that.
Okay, I can work with that.
Okay. I'm going to argue that you've used up pretty much all of your movement at this point, and you are half wedged inside this doorway.
Okay.
Between the legs of a Warforged that is very much
trying to decide
wondering
how equal they are.
It was doing that, but it's kind of left that conversation to wonder why a kobold is trying to crawl its way underneath it. And
I'm just going to shrug and say, kobolds, it's what we do.
You know, that seems like a surprisingly effective tactic. I might have to modify that for Warforged.
I vote we let Zax make a strength check to stand upright and use the Warforged on top of her as sort of like a spreader to widen the doorway.
Oh my gosh, like an object.
You know what? I will allow this attempt.
All right, let's do it.
And I know Zax's strength.
Oh no. I've rolled a 2.
Which is effectively what?
Strength is +7.
Okay.
I think.
So it's a 9. All
but
right.
There's also a, yeah. Well, there's, okay. If you look at the top bar with the stats, it's a +7. If you look at the saving throws, that's not a saving throw, though.
It's not a saving throw.
Okay, so it's a +7. Yeah,
what's your athletics? Is it also +7?
Athletics is +9.
Okay, so that's an 11. So I will say that you managed to stand up.
Okay.
You do not do any additional structural damage to the house, but the Warforged, who was most in the doorway, is currently 3 feet taller than they were before.
Okay.
And they are encountering the most unusual of terrain features they have ever encountered.
Well, yes, kobolds are strange, so okay.
I, as the DM, live for this game. This is fantastic. I'm here for this content. Things I never thought I would have to paint as a picture have been painted.
And there we are.
In the most vibrant of colors. It's like a giant robot ate crayons and pooped rainbows.
Oh, God. All right, so this robot has a mount.
I told you I would integrate that somehow.
Right. This robot now has a mount, and I may have a projectile. We'll see. Oh no, I broke the DM.
Yeah, it might be slightly broken. I actually feel a little lightheaded from that laugh.
Oh no.
Breathe, Crash, breathe. That is going to be an out of context quote. Thank you, Jen, for
that. Oh, it probably
mana
should be.
From heaven. Okay. Thank you, Eric. Yes, that unicorn does appear to be broken. Moving on down the line, next is a category of beings which I have just referred to as the goodies, because I refer to the enemies as the baddies in this initiative order.
It makes sense.
Yes. So the goodies seem to have this in the bag. No, they don't, but I needed to make the pun.
I get this now.
Yes.
Okay.
Zenosha, your little friend, not Zenosha. Zenosha has other friends. The mushroom people seem very nice to meet you. Actually, let's start with them. So the Makanids aren't attacking. They're not doing attacks at all, from what you can see. But they do seem to be talking to Zenosha. One of them that appears to be larger than the others by a significant amount seems to be the source of this communication right now. And Zenosha, what you hear in your head is, we can take care of the humans and encourage a more peaceful egress. The large metal one, unfortunately. Sorry, you're on your own.
Okay, if you have the humans, I think we can take care of the metal titan thing. So yes, this is a good arrangement. I'm all for it.
Yes, you have a very formidable stick, but watch out for sequels.
Okay, now the boss of the campaign is going to have to be a giant space seagull. Well, and knowing Zenosha, after we kill it, she might ask to install a helm in it.
Well, keep in mind, most of the ships you've encountered were modeled after biological entities. Who's to say there isn't a giant seagull spaceship already?
Weirdly, though, the giant seagull spaceship is just a circle with two wings coming out of it that make upside-down Vs.
Well, it's a slightly heftier model than the one that's just a giant M.
Yeah. Like it has room for cargo.
I don't know why people talk about Dungeons & Dragons combat taking so long to get through a single round.
Yeah. Can't imagine.
I'm enjoying this immensely. I'm having so much fun. I hope you are as well. But
look, I've been muted for the last 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. Okay. So, Neri, while we're talking to you, your little friend flies off of your shoulder where it was perched for the most part and makes a beeline for the giant robot.
Uh-oh.
It doesn't get all the way there because it doesn't have the movement to do it, but it makes a beeline.
Well, good luck, little dude.
And I'm going to say that several of the Warforged do manage to get through the wall of the building. The ones in the door seem to be having the most difficulty because they want to...
They've blocked it up with a taller... Well, yeah,
there is a not-so-small kobold blocking their path at this point. And there's debate over whether or not you are under the Warforged or the Warforged is standing on top of you, or if this is in fact mounted combat. And if so, where's the saddle? And who would hold the lance?
Right. Okay.
The one thing they can all agree on is that everybody wants a kobold ride.
Well, that wasn't going to be canon, but now it is.
Maybe later.
They seem to be getting to the point where whoever arm is strong enough gets the lance.
Yeah.
That'll be sad.
Probably true. I don't know. Could be.
You could definitely give them a run for their money.
Yeah.
Especially since they probably understand money less than you do.
Possibly true. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Next up is Chroma gets to use an ability. Hmm? Sorry, go ahead. Next up is...
Chroma.
Who gets to use an ability that's going to make all the Warforged go, ooh.
Summon shiny.
So, how tall would you say the Warforged is?
At least 20 feet.
All right. How many squishy things are there in a 20-foot radius around it?
Including human allies?
Yeah.
And mushroom allies?
Yeah.
There are two humans you see that are within striking distance of the Titan, and there's four or five mushrooms. Upon closer inspection, it's 4.5 mushrooms. One of them looks like a little baby.
Okay, definitely not doing that then.
The very small one waves at you.
Okay, I do not cast Grease.
Wow, that could have been interesting.
There is no height limit on Grease.
No. No, there is not.
But if there are squishy things near it, I don't want it to fall brown.
The very tiny one is giving you a Baby Yoda vibe.
Oh no. Okay, so... how far away is it from me?
30 feet.
Okay, 30 feet. Sorry. Okay. I'm... New sidearm! Time to shine! And I'm going to summon an Eldritch Cannon.
You hear a collective digital chorus of voices go, ooh.
I am going to summon the Force Ballista Eldritch Cannon. It is chroma-sized, and it has legs.
Are they like kobold legs, crab legs, tank legs?
They're like crab legs.
It's not resting on them. It just has them.
What's it doing with them? Get that out of your mouth. Come back here.
But there is now a turret that can move around.
My name is Turret Peep. I'm the king of the rumba. Beep.
Beside
when you hear it go click, clicky, boom, click, clicky, boom, click, clicky, boom.
Pretty much.
And I am going to use my bonus action to have it fire at the robot. And now I need to roll a ranged spell attack, which is going to, I think, going to be 1d20 plus 6. Okay, yeah, it says spell attack, so I'm using my int. 15. Actually, okay. Do I have allies within Pack Tactics range?
Do you consider the little baby Yoda mushroom to be an ally?
Aww.
Probably, but I don't think it should be in combat.
Well, it doesn't want to be in combat either. The mushroom people seem to be pacifists.
Oh no.
But I will definitely grant that as an ally and let you reroll.
Okay. 19.
Okay, so here's what happens. You summon this turret. It prepares to fire. It shoots its projectile. Which, it's a force cannon, so it's not really a projectile, but it basically
fires magic missiles.
Yes. It flies forward and goes past the little parasite thing that is the animal companion of Neri. It's trying so hard, and it got so far. And then hits this Titan Warforged square in the face and dissipates.
Oh, no.
Is it immune to force damage?
It's immune to attack rolls that are under 20.
Not good. Okay, I'm going to try to move closer to it.
Okay, this seems like an excellent plan. How close?
Oh, right, because I'm within 30 feet. Wait, I'm going to get in front of the baby mushroom. I protect. Okay,
but you also attack.
Not in that order.
No, technically in the reverse order. So the baby mushroom looks up at you and says, "Hi, I'm Button."
Can I interrupt for just a second?
Sure.
Yes.
So you're using the sidearm, right?
No.
I'm using a turret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, artificer turret.
Chroma might think that sidearm is what guns in general are called. And this might be Lieutenant Commander Holland's fault.
That makes sense.
The DM will do nothing to dissuade Chroma of this. Okay, so with that said, it is now the Warforged Titan's turn. I normally have a player roll a d6 for this, but I'm going to roll because it is 1035. Okay. All right. It is going to attack with its axe hand. Chroma, what's your AC?
Oh, no.
What did it roll?
I haven't rolled yet.
Well... 21.
Your AC is 21.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I have a dex modifier of +3. I have the feat that lets me get use all of that when I'm in medium armor. I'm wearing half plate, and I use my artificer infusion to make that half plate better. I have an AC of 21.
Wow. This is not me disbelieving, because I did say early on, equip any magical items you want. You've got high-level patrons.
But I made this one myself.
But yeah, you didn't even need that. And I should have realized this because I, in my Wednesday game, have a kobold paladin wearing chainmail that has an AC of 18.
Wow.
And they don't have the artificer abilities. So that roll was an 18, by the way. So that's not hitting. But it makes an additional attack with its hammer fist. Chroma is mesmerized by the way the gears are moving for this thing to do its attack. So mesmerized that you...
What did it roll?
17 plus 9.
Okay, 17 plus 9 is 26. Okay, and ties go to the attacker, right. Okay, I do not cast shield.
I love that the ties go to the attacker rule had to be invoked for 26. Can we just take a moment to marvel that you had to invoke that for a 26? I love this game. You're going to find this less enjoyable. The hammer smacks you upside the head for 19 points of damage, bludgeoning.
Ow!
Give me a strength saving throw.
Okay. I'm not very good at those.
Well, kobold.
Correct. That's a non-natural one.
Okay. It's a surprise to no one that this attack knocks you prone.
Ooh. Ow.
So this hammer comes down. It comes up. There is a chroma-shaped indentation in the ground. But
bad,
don't worry.
Robot.
It's not a pothole because it's already been filled with a chroma. Who is coincidentally...
I don't want to be city planning.
Such glorious out-of-context quotes.
Mm-hmm. Also, I am so bloodied now.
Yes, I did look up your hit points. 19 is average damage for the hammer fist. I didn't fudge that. So, the hammer fist. The Warforged Titan has gone. Next, it's Neri's turn.
Okay. Do I have allies within 5 feet?
That would be Chroma.
Okay.
A 24 will hit.
For 18 damage.
All right. By the way, Chroma Button looks into the small indentation that you're in and says, that looks like it hurt.
Ow. Uh-huh.
So Button can speak regularly, doesn't need the thing?
No, this is a voice in Chroma's head. Button doesn't seem to have a mouth either, so this has to be a voice in Chroma's head. Next up is Zenosha.
Yes, who you cut out?
You cut out.
Zenosha.
All right, how far away is this thing from me now?
Unless you moved forward, it's still 30 feet.
Did Chroma move forward?
Yes, she did.
Yes.
She
did. Yep.
All right, I'm going to start off by casting Ice Knife, which, with this thing's AC, I'm not sure is going to hit, but since I'm out of Lightning Bolt, it's my best shot. 22?
22 hits.
You don't even need the advantage.
Oh, yeah, almost forgot about that, but...
Might as well roll to see if you get the crit.
Nope.
Oh, well.
Okay, well, roll your damage for the 22.
All right, this is not nearly as impressive as the lightning bolt. 4 damage.
Still something.
How do you want to do this?
No. I would laugh so hard if that was the case, but no.
And okay, for my bonus action, I'm casting Healing Spirit on... Chroma's only like 30, 40 feet away from me, right?
Chroma's slightly less than 30 feet away from you.
So I can cast it right on top of her, which the way Healing Spirit works, I think we're supposed to have to wait till Chroma's next turn before I can help her.
Chroma gets a turn before the Titan does, though. So
yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, Chroma's last in the initiative order. Chroma goes right before it.
When your turn starts, you get a roll 1d6 and heal that much.
Okay.
It's a there heal.
Well, it'll last for quite a while, and as long as Chroma stays in the same space, it'll do that every turn.
I'm going to advance too. I know we're on Zenosha's turn at this point, but I want to move up 20 feet.
Okay. I will allow that when it's your turn.
All right, okay. And that's the end of my turn.
Okay. At this point, it's time for the goodies. So the mushrooms are not happy, but also not helping much. The Warforged, several of them have successfully gotten out of what's left of their Nada hideout and are attempting to plan an attack formation. Mostly, one of them is calling out various Greek letters, and no one else understands any of this.
Right, I'm going to put that one down. I'm assuming it's that one. Down. All right.
Zenosha's parasite little buddy makes it to the Warforged Titan and latches onto one of its eyeballs.
Neri's.
I'm sorry, Neri. It is getting late. But Neri's parasite friend latches onto one of the eyeballs of the Warforged Titan. However, it not being a biological entity, it's not actually doing anything other than scratching the finish a little bit. But it's trying.
Good effort.
It's trying.
Yes.
If
Chroma got out of there, you'd still have an ally within 5 feet at this point.
Excellent.
Yes. It's helping. We're going to name it Kevin. Chroma.
Yes?
You are prone in front of the largest robot you've ever seen. I leave it to you to decide if this is still a magical moment.
Did Zax get a turn?
I didn't get a turn.
So sorry.
Yeah, it's like I think I missed a turn. I don't remember.
That was a me problem. Today, but... I'm sorry. Zax,
okay.
Go.
All right. Okay, so I would like to rage. And I'm going for the giant robot thing. How far away is it?
It's 30 feet.
I'm going for it, and I'm going to hit it with the Hammer of Thunder.
Okay.
As hard as I can.
The thing that annoys me the most is I wrote down the initiative order so I wouldn't skip anyone's turn.
That's okay. You're tired. We can make this work. I'm going to go for one of its legs in the hope of taking it out. And I'm going to hope it... I'm hoping if I succeed at this, I can, like, knock it backwards so it falls behind where we are. You know, like... doesn't fall on the mushroom people. It goes the other way. That's my plan.
I'm looking at condition immunities, and it doesn't say anything about immune to having one of its legs ripped off with a hammer of lightning bolts.
Yeah, so I'm going to try that. You know. All right, so I got to roll. I've rolled an 8. Can I use my inspiration to try again, or do I get pack tactics?
You don't need to. You have pack tactics.
Okay, trying again. Now I have a 15 on the dice.
Okay, and what's your bonus to hit?
Bonus to hit.
I know it's
hammer.
Like all the dice.
Yeah.
At least plus 7. So.
Yeah, the bonus to.
Plus 10. You have a plus 10.
Plus 10? Okay, then yeah, I got that. So now I.
Yeah, you got a 25.
Okay, so I got 2d6 plus 8 damage. Mm-hmm. Okay, d6. I got a 5 and a 2 plus 8.
It's 15.
Okay, 15.
Okay, so that's what I've done. I'm just going to hit it. I don't know if it does any lightning.
It's bloodied.
That. It's bloodied? Awesome.
Not actually bleeding, because that'd be very creepy, but it's bloodied.
Okay. So that's probably the end of my turn, because I did a bonus action.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And you have done the incredible useful thing of providing a different target than Chroma.
Yep. Come after me instead of my little sister, who's kind of over there.
Making friends with the mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, that part doesn't bother me. It's the other part.
Yeah. So back to Chroma. Same situation, except now your sister's hanging out there next to you.
Always helpful. I healed one hit point.
Oh.
It really was a there moment.
Oh.
And like I said, the strength of healing spirit is that it's a persistent spell. So anyone can move into that spot and get a heal for, I think, a few hours or until I lose concentration.
Okay, so where were the humans standing?
There's platforms up near its shoulders.
All right. I should have summoned a different kind of turret. I'm going to stand up from prone first.
Okay.
Are there still mushrooms all around me?
Yes, none of them have fled.
Brave little mush.
Guys, you should probably run over there.
We'll get around to it.
Now?
It's not really our spot in the initiative order, but yeah, we'll get to it.
And I'm last in the initiative order. I can't hold my action. That would just skip my turn. Let's not. Okay, I'm going to fire up my glove and point the glowy bit at some debris and cast catapult.
Okay.
The thing needs to make a dexterity saving throw DC 14.
And this is why you're not using your turret again, because it's got to roll something it's weak at.
Oh, I can do that too. Turret's a bonus action.
Ooh, I forgot about that.
Nice.
So that's a 17 for its dex save.
Dret. Let's see. Okay. All right, then nothing happens. Next, my turret is going to make an attempt to fire.
Don't
and fail miserably. Oh, right, because I'm making the roll. That means my turrets have pack tactics, too. 20!
A 20 hits.
There you go. Good.
All right. Let's see. I am not very experienced with this yet. Let me...
It's a very brand new class, so yes. So is everyone.
And if the... Okay, it only does 2 damage, but it... Does this thing count as a creature?
It's a construct.
I mean, does it count as a creature, not what kind? So,
it
yes?
It depends on why you're asking.
Are you talking
if
about
the target?
The
is a creature, it is pushed up to 5 feet away from the cannon. It doesn't have a size limit on that.
Huh.
Interesting.
Oh, as opposed to a structure, I think, or an object.
Yeah.
Right.
But I'm imagining this very large construct that is tearing down buildings. And then a chroma-sized cannon goes, pew, pew!
Does 2 damage!
And knocks it back 5 feet.
Nice.
Now, scale-wise, it doesn't look like it gets moved very far, because 5 feet for something this large, by scale, is not that much.
It basically threw it off balance and made it take a half step backwards.
Pretty much.
Yes.
It seems just as surprised as everybody else.
Yes! Good cannon! You're doing a great job!
Okay. Warforged turn.
All right.
That kobold with a hammer seems to be a
yep.
threat.
Bring it.
Its sweeping axe ability is not recharged. That is a 27 to hit with the axe hand.
Okay.
So you are going to take 9 points because you're raging.
Okay.
You're taking 9 points of damage from that.
I got it.
The DM has made a mistake, but the mistake is in the player's favor, so he's not going to correct it right now.
Oh, okay.
It's a tactic thing, not a rule thing.
Okay.
That is a 23 for the second hit.
Okay.
You are again going to take 9 points of damage from that because it's rounded down.
Okay. Okay.
And give me a strength saving throw.
Okay. Got a 20. Strength is plus 7.
Okay. You didn't need the plus to your strength for that. The nat 20 okay. is an automatic success. Congratulations. So it swipes with the axe. Right. It hits you. You're like, bring it on. It goes and swipes at you with its hammer fist. Now, when it did this for Chroma, it left a Chroma-shaped hole in the pavement. It does this to you.
And
everyone winces and then looks. It lifts the hammer up. There is an indentation in the hammer that is shaped like the top of your head.
Mm-hmm.
Zach's completely no sells the hammer blow.
I mean, you'd still take bludgeoning damage from it, but it appears that the hammer has slightly damaged itself.
Awesome. I was trying to break it.
And
that's using your head.
Yeah.
Neri.
Did you learn that from Gox?
Maybe.
I mean, it's canon, probably.
Probably. Learned a lot of things from Gox.
As soon as Discord catches up to my typing.
A 26 will hit.
It's 13
points of damage.
And I'll move up, call it 20 feet.
Okay, you're 10 feet away.
I thought I was 15 because...
You are... At this point, you're however far away you want to be. How far away do you want to be?
I want to be 15 feet away.
Okay, you're 15 feet away. Next up is Zenosha.
All right. I'm going to... start off by moving the healing spirit over to Zax. Is that Jen's character?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Although Zax, I think, is standing next to Chroma at this point.
Probably pretty close.
Yeah.
Can it? Is it an AoE spell?
I can move it within 60 feet, but the way the description works, it sounds like it's only healing people within 5 feet of it. So
I would say that they're standing next to each other, so you could have it be affecting both of them if you wanted.
Then I'll do that.
Okay.
I'm definitely not complaining when the DM gives a boon.
All right, so what do we roll?
At the start of your turn, you roll 1d6 and heal yourself for that.
Okay, I can do that.
Cool. And it's a concentration spell, so I can't cast any more spells. So I'm going to run up and try to make a melee attack.
You can cast spells as long as they're not concentration spells.
Yeah. Running it up and hitting it with my stick is still probably the best course of action.
I'm here for this concept.
This was the problem I ran into with Dhaldane. Like, I could do a lot of stuff, and then I couldn't do anything else.
And I think I'm doing the advantage thing, right? Nat 20.
Okay.
Not only a nat 20, but the advantage canceled out a nat 1.
That is glorious. Roll your stick damage. Make sure you roll double the die.
So does that apply only to the stick damage or the lightning I was going to have to do as well?
Well, normally, if someone's doing sneak attack damage and they crit, they get to roll double damage for the sneak attack as well. So the DM, in part because it's approaching 11 o'clock at night here on the East Coast, is going to say, double all your die, but keep the bonuses as they are.
Let's see if this works.
A crit is double dice, keep the flat bonuses the same.
Yes.
Yeah, but the lightning's a separate effect that I only get to do once, so I wasn't sure if it counted. But
yeah, sneak attack is a separate effect that you only get to do once per turn. So I'm using that as my rule for now.
All right.
The DM reserves the right to change this after he's had a night of sleep. But for now...
Fair enough.
For now, you've done 25 points of damage.
Wow. Most of that's the lightning. But yes, I'll take it.
This warforce does not want to ride the lightning, but it does not appear to have a choice. It teeters.
Ooh.
And unless I took it down, that's my turn.
Well, even if you did take it down, that would be your turn. But yes, Zax.
All right, I'm hitting it with the hammer again. Hitting that leg and trying to push it, you know, let it teeter so it falls backwards kind of thing.
Okay, give me an attack roll.
That's a 12.
That hits because you've got plus 10. And we have not looked at your bonus that you get to hit from raging.
Oh, right. We haven't looked at that yet.
Because since you started raging, you've hit every time.
Okay. Okay, so it's 2d6 plus 8. And I got a 3 and a 5 plus 8.
So 16 total.
I have a feeling I know the answer to this question, but the question remains, how do you want to do this?
I'm going to slam the hammer into its leg so hard that it knocks the thing off balance and lands backwards away from all the people.
Fantastic. So you hit this leg so hard, the knee dislocates. And
awesome,
this leg,
I broke it.
Yeah, the leg from the knee down goes flying into a nearby building, which, to be fair, was already partially demolished earlier.
That'll do.
But now it's slightly more demolished than it was before. And the Warforged teeters some more, tries to steady itself by swinging an arm out. That takes out another building. The building does not, in fact, steady the arm because of the aforementioned demolishing. And it falls into a third building. And the dust settles.
The town. All right.
You are now in a bit of a courtyard.
Okay.
You weren't before.
Right.
It's an aftermarket courtyard. And the Warforged that you're assuming was the one that was leader because it walks up to you while carrying a soapbox.
Okay.
Says, "Excellent job. The revolution has begun." And that's where we're going to end it for tonight.
Okay. All right, I want to grab a piece of this thing to take with me. Small little pick-off.
There's a few nuts and bolts that are about the size of your hands.
Okay, I'm grabbing those and I'm putting it in my bag. And yeah, memories.
In the meantime, it takes my little alien a minute or two to stop sucking.
It's like, oh, it's
it
dead.
Fully believes that it's the one that defeated the Warforged.
Yes.
It's going to come back a proud little alien.
Doing little victory dances as it comes back.
Oh, it is. Goodness. It totally is. It's making a sound that is not unlike a purr.
Oh, no.
It's kind of like the cross between a purr and a chirp, which is a sound that my cat can make.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So thank you everyone for playing. Thank you everyone for listening. Tonight I was joined by some incredibly awesome people, including Ellie, Io, Jen, and Cindy. Eric's been hanging out in chat listening in. Archbeth was hanging out in a different chat, also listening in. Let's do some quick plugs. So Ellie has a social network, elec.xyz. It runs on Mastodon. So if you have a Mastodon account, you already know Mastodon is like Twitter, but without the Nazis. which is really nice. And those of us who have Mastodon accounts, our information is available on the cast page. It's listed in the show notes. EO's mom writes books. You can get those at elizabeth-mccoy.com. Jen has a blog and podcast. You can find that at bookofjen.net. And we have a Patreon. You can become a patron over at patreon.com/cogwheelgaming and join other illustrious patrons such as Chris, Cindy, Ellie, and Eric. And until next time, this is Crash saying, I don't want to be city planning. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.